This is the fifth Sunday of Lent, which means next Sunday is what? Palm Sunday. We look forward to the children coming in, waving their palm branches and celebrating the triumphal entry of Jesus, our Savior, into Jerusalem. And what a journey that must have been, what it must have been to be there outside the gates of Jerusalem that day when that happened. And we'll reflect on that next Sunday. But speaking of journeys, let's turn together in our Bibles today to the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 8. While you're finding that, I read about another journey this week. There was this large two-engine Amtrak train was crossing the U.S. one time, and after they had gone some distance, one of the engines failed. And no problem, the engineer thought. He carried on. He turned all the power over to the other engine. And some miles later, the other engine broke down, and the train became stalled or stranded there in the middle of Kansas. So the engineer decided that he would inform the passengers why the train had stopped. And so he goes on the intercom system, and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have some good news and some bad news." He said, "The bad news is that both of our engines have failed, and we are going to be stuck here in the middle of Kansas for some time." He said, "The good news is that you decided to take the train and not an airplane." So the lesson there is, always look for the positive in life when you are stranded in the middle of Kansas, right? Oh, shoot. Well, hopefully you've been keeping up with our 40-day Lent devotional book. I've visited some people, and I've seen the book out, so I know you all are engaging with it. And I think yesterday you should have been on day 28, and tomorrow will be day 29. Of course, we skip Sundays when we come together for worship. And we're also starting each Sunday during Lent with these words on the screen, so let's say these together. I'll say the first part, and then you'll say the italics part in unison. God is good.
Always.
Jesus is Lord.
Always.
And the Holy Spirit
guides us with truth and grace.
Amen. Amen. Our theme during this season of Lent has been the 40 days. 40 days of prayer and renewal is what we have called it. And for the messages, of course, we've been looking at the many passages in Scripture that mention the number 40. There, 40 years today will be the focus, but there's also 40 days, 40 nights, and so on. Actually, there are over 160 mentions of the number 40 in the Old and New Testament. And so it is very significant. It's a very significant number in Scripture. And this morning we're considering the 40 years that the Israelites journeyed through the wilderness to get to the promised land. 40 years to take a trip that if you went directly walking and all that as they did, it probably would have taken 2 weeks or so for them to make that trip. And we'll get into that as we go this morning. But our scripture text is from Deuteronomy 8, and this is when the Israelites are finally on the east bank of the Jordan River in the land of Moab. And Moses, in Deuteronomy delivers this speech to the people, an inspirational speech near Mount Nebo, where he would eventually pass away. And he's talking to them about where they've been on this journey, where they are going, and how important it is for them not to forget the Lord in the process of all this. Now, of course, he died, and Joshua was the one that eventually led them across the Jordan and into the promised land. But let's read what he says here in Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 11. "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. 40 years is a long time. If you are over the age of 40, where were you and what were you doing 40 years ago? I would have been 17 years old. I would be a junior in high school playing varsity basketball, involved heavily in my church youth group, with no idea that 40 years later I would be a pastor at Arthur Mennonite Church in Arthur, Illinois. The truth is, 40 years is longer than many of us have been in many jobs, some relationships, or certain seasons of life. And some of you were not even born in 1985. But that's how long it took God's people, the Israelites, to make it from slavery in Egypt to the promised land of Canaan. Like I said, a direct trip for them would have maybe only taken a little over 2 weeks. So why the extended journey of 40 years? You know, in some ways I was thinking this story might seem a little bit ancient to us today. I mean, now, you know, we have vehicles and planes and trains and other ways to get from one place to another. Instead of manna and sandals and a movable tabernacle, we now have potato chips, Nikes, and the same church building that we come to worship in together each week. We have a lot to be thankful for, right? But there are some lessons here that hit home for us today as well. God wasn't just sending the Israelites on a scenic route to the promised land. No, these people were wanderers for a reason. And as the hymn we sang earlier states, we too, even today, we are prone to wander. And so what causes that wandering? And how can we find the promised land that God has provides for each of us? First of all, we realize that this 40-year journey was the cause of much grumbling. There was a lot of disobedience. And there was a lot of turning away from God during those years. In many ways, the Israelites, they kind of deserved those 40 years or that 40-year adventure instead of that two-week paved road to the promised land. I mean, we heard last Sunday how they built an idol of gold when Moses was up on Mount Sinai when he received the Ten Commandments from God. They grumbled about a lack of food and water in Exodus 16 and 17. And then when God did provide manna for them in Numbers 11, they wanted meat instead. Of course they did. At many places along the way, they thought it would be better to return back to Egypt in slavery because their present situation was hard, instead of looking ahead to what the Lord had waiting for them in the land of Canaan. Oh, how we can relate to that. You know, when life gets hard and difficult, we too are prone to grumble and complain, aren't we? Contentment is only found when we trust in God's sovereignty and His plan for us instead of our own comforts and desires. So, what have you been prone to complain about or to grumble about recently? And how can you learn to be content in those things? In Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul talked about learning to be content in any situation, and he linked it to our trust in God's control and God's purpose for everything. He said, "I've learned the secret to being content in any and every situation." You know what his secret was? Finding his contentment in the Lord. He says, we can do all of this through Him because He is the one that gives us strength. It's not in our own flesh or in our own strength that we find that contentment. And you know, God did provide for the Israelites during these 40 years many, many times. Even though they were often ungrateful and they were often grumbling to Moses about something. I mean, there was always something they were going to Moses and grumbling about, you know. I mean, God provided manna, even though they disobeyed how they were to partake of that manna. You know, they hoarded it instead of taking just enough for today, like God had commanded. Then he provides quail. And that's not good enough. He splits rocks open for the water that they needed along the way. I mean, what it really boiled down to was that they doubted God's provision, even when they had already seen all of these provisions that He had done for them on their journey. I mean, isn't splitting the Red Sea open to go through a wonderful provision? Apparently they forgot about that. But you know, we often do the same thing. We live in a world that is obsessed with stockpiling things, whether it be money or status or material things, because we're afraid that tomorrow will not be enough. And there are times that we go through our own wilderness of need, of doubt, of wandering and wondering, W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G. You know, wondering how the next bill is going to get paid, how the central air unit is going to get replaced that broke down, how the mortgage payment or rent is going to be covered, or even how we can find peace and contentment in the midst of it all. Just like he did for the Israelites on this 40-year journey, God will provide. Not always as we expect, not always what we demand, but always what we need. You know, in Matthew 6, Jesus tells us not to worry. And as a part of that, he says, you know, look at the birds of the air. He says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable than they are? I often look out the back window of my house and I see the birds and I wonder how in the world they survive in the cold and crazy winter that we have here in central Illinois. These little bitty birds, I mean, that just amazes me. And something else that's kind of cool is we have here in front of the church, above the mailbox, there is a nest. And the nest has been there for the last 3 or 4 years. And every spring, a robin comes and lays eggs in that nest. I'm sure it's the same one. And whenever I go get the mail, she scurries away and goes about 20 feet out in the driveway and just watches me as I get the mail. And then as soon as I go into church, she goes up back to her nest. God provides for even the birds. Surely he's going to provide for you and I. And Jesus promises this, that in that passage. But you see, we just have to believe him. We just have to trust in him. The disobedience and grumbling for the Israelites, of course, did not speed up their journey to the promised land. It ends up prolonging it for years upon years. And if you really think about it, the complaining that they did not make the journey enjoyable. In fact, you could say it made it miserable at times because of all the complaining that was going on. And I think those are lessons that we can learn and we can apply to our lives today. Because too often we fixate on what we don't have. We miss the manna that we do have. We miss the daily provisions and the grace of Jesus that is right there in front of us. And I think so often, you know, it becomes a trust issue for us. I read an article recently about people who are stockpiling years and years of food and provisions for something that may or may not happen in the future. Doomsday preppers, we often call them. And while, you know, it's good to be prepared, I think we would all agree it's good to be prepared and ready for things to some point. But there comes another point that we just need to trust that the Lord is going to provide for us, whatever may come. So you see, it's a trust issue. A few months ago, we looked at the story from Numbers 14, where the spies were sent from Kadesh into the promised land of Canaan to see, you know, what it was like up there in the north. 12 men were sent. 10 came back talking about how dangerous it was, and they gave a fearful report about the giants and all kinds of other things. But Joshua and Caleb showed trust and faith over fear and trepidation. The 10 said, "We can't do it." But the 2 said, "God is with us. Let's go." The fear of the majority, the fear of the 10, caused them to wander the wilderness until a whole generation had passed away. And you know, if we look at the story and all that happened, it's easy for us to think that God was punishing the Israelites for their disobedience or lack of trust and, you know, doubting his ability to provide for them. There's probably some truth to that. You know, there are consequences for sin and disobedience. But the Lord was using that time to prepare them for what was ahead. God was teaching them obedience, stripping away their self-reliance, and preparing them for the faith and trust that they were going to need as they crossed the Jordan River with with Joshua many years later. It was a time of refining, renewal, prayer, and growth. It's what we've been talking about during this season of Lent. And that's another way for us to approach the difficulties and the trials that we face in life today. And those are going to come for all of us. They come in different ways. They come at different times in our life. But what if we used those times for renewal and growth instead of grumbling and complaining? In James 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "Consider it joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. It says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking what? Anything. Not lacking anything. At the end of the book of James, that same book, he actually talks about those who wander away from the faith and from their trust in the Lord. And he says that whoever helps those wanderers come back to the faith in Christ are helping to save them. Yes, you know, we are called to help Jesus save the lost. Those who are wandering through this life without a Savior and the promise of eternal life in heaven with Jesus, they should be on our heart. We should be thinking of ways to reach them. But what about us? What about you? You know, we know at times we are prone to wander as well. Our faith and our trust isn't always as it should be. Oftentimes we are stubborn. You know, we don't really like trials and tests when they come along. We don't like the battle that we often have with temptations in life. We don't like waiting on much of anything. But how often do these things happen because Jesus has been left out of the picture? That's what Moses is kind of reminding the Israelites here about God in many ways. I don't know about you, but I find myself trusting in my own ways too much instead of the leading of the Lord. You know, I plow along with my own ideas, and sometimes I have to step back and think, whoa, wait a minute. Have I asked the Lord to help with this? Or have I asked Jesus to be in this situation that I'm in or what I'm going through at this time? I mean, we know that Jesus has said he will be with us as we go through all of the experiences that we face in this life. He will teach us. He will lead us. He will help us to trust in him over our fears. He will help us to move forward instead of looking back all of the time. Yes, we can learn from the past, and we should, but we can't dwell on what might have been, what could have been, or what should have been. You know, I was thinking if our life was a vehicle, we should maybe get rid of the rear view mirror sometimes or the side mirrors. I know that's illegal to do when you're out on the road, but it's often valuable for us in life. Because so often people hang on to things in their past and they just don't look forward and they always let the past weigh them down. And so we need to let it go. We need to give it to God. Let God have it so that we can move on. Some years ago, that was our theme here at AMC. We had this sign that's on the screen hanging in our church foyer for several years that said, "Forward together in the truth, spirit, and light of Christ." If only the Israelites would have journeyed forward together with God instead of being disobedient, discontented, and disoriented. They might have made this journey in 2 or 3 years. And then that current generation that was with them, they might have been able to see the promised land. When God says to move forward, don't retreat back to Egypt. When he tells us to wait, don't rush ahead with our own agenda. Instead, let's embrace the God who has set us out on this journey, who created us, as we heard at the beginning of the worship time today, who had a thought of us before we were ever born. Let's trust in Jesus to lead us and guide us to where he wants to take us in life. You know, many years before this 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God made a promise to Abraham. And he promised him many descendants in a land where they would be made into a great nation. In Genesis 12, the promise was that they would be blessed and that they would prosper. And that all the people on earth would be blessed through him. And so that's where God was leading the Israelites. But they failed to follow the commands of the Lord. They failed to trust in him and have faith that he was going to provide for them on that journey when they set out from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. That's what Moses is stressing in these first verses from Deuteronomy chapter 8. He is saying, don't forget how important this is. Don't forget how the Lord has led us. Don't forget to praise God and thank God for all that he has done and continues to do in your life. And that's really the lesson for us in this story. Because it's easy to just go about life and forget these things. You know, we often say that we will never forget things like 9/11, the Holocaust, and things like that. And we shouldn't. We shouldn't forget them. But we should never, ever forget all that God has done for us and what God's Son Jesus has done for us through his death on the cross and his resurrection. Next week, we're going to begin that journey with Jesus from Palm Sunday to the cross of Good Friday and then the empty grave of Easter morning, a journey that changed our world forever and can change your life forever if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's not a 40-year journey through the wilderness, although there may be some wilderness things along the journey. It's a lifelong journey for us with the grace and salvation of Jesus right at our side and always with us. Even when we face those things that are the wilderness of this world, Jesus will be there and the Holy Spirit will guide us on our journey. You know, in the end, God did not abandon the Israelites. Even in all of their failures and complaining and all of that, he did lead them into the promised land. They arrived in the land of milk and honey and they prospered with the Lord by their side. And many years later, of course, God would send Jesus into the world to help us in our wandering today. I'd like to think, though, as I think about us today, I'd like to think that we are more like pilgrims than we are wanderers, you know? Pilgrims with a purpose. Pilgrims with a purpose to follow God, to live for Jesus, and to place our faith and our trust in him. We talk about it a lot, but let's not just talk about it. Let's do it and let's live it. Let it be evident in our lives in the days and the years ahead that we do have faith and we do trust in our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And once again, we will begin our prayer with the Lord's Prayer by saying the Lord's Prayer in unison. So those words are on the screen. Let's begin. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for the wilderness seasons in life that shape us, that mold us, and that form us into who you want us to be. Lord, help us to trust in your provision. Help us to obey your voice. Help us to embrace this journey we are on together in the valleys and on the mountaintops. Lord, lead us to your promised land. And we pray that you would be with us each step of the way. Lord, we pray your blessing on the wonderful food that has been brought for us to fellowship over today. May you bless it, and may you bless our time together. And Lord, we pray that you would just be with us as we go through this month of April and we reflect on all that you've done for us from the cross to the empty grave. May it begin next week as we celebrate Palm Sunday and your triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we pray all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great week, and let's enjoy fellowship meal together.